Hi, I'm Dan Dietrich, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. Throughout the entire epistle to the Galatians, Paul combats the false doctrine of legalism, as well as the charge by the false teachers that he has no apostolic authority to plant churches or to preach doctrine. By legalism, we mean adding obedience to the ceremonial law of Judaism, particularly circumcision, to the finished work of Christ. In the book, he defends the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ, and he defends his own apostolic authority. In last Sunday's broadcast, I covered chapter 4, verses 8 through 16, where Paul reasoned with the Galatians that they had once been idolaters, pagans, and heathens. Then, as a result of Paul's visit to their province, they had repented of their sins and received Christ by faith. But now, after the advent of the Judaizers from Jerusalem, who preached that circumcision was necessary for salvation, they were making serious steps toward the legalism of Judaism. Paul reasoned with the Galatians that under their idolatry, they'd been in bondage to ceremony. They had observed days and months and times and years. They had rules about what they could and couldn't do, where they could and couldn't go, what they could and couldn't touch, sacrifices that needed to be made, and so forth. But they had been freed from all that bondage when they had come to Christ. Now, Paul reasons, why would you want to return to that same kind of bondage under the ceremonial law of Judaism? His logic is that idolatry and Judaism are basically the same thing in that both are made up primarily of ceremonies, and the ceremonies of neither can save your soul. Evidently, at least some of the Galatians had become quite enamored with the false teachers because Paul said in chapter 4 and verse 16, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" He went ahead to say that they had become zealously affected, but not for good. He had already travailed in birth for their souls salvation once. Now he was having to travail in birth again until Christ be formed in them. In other words, he had labored to get them saved by faith. Now he was having to labor again to get them sanctified by faith. Now, listen, here's a grand truth. Many receive Jesus Christ by faith for their salvation, but when it comes to sanctification, that is, growing in grace, they switch to works. Preachers, with good intentions, I might say, will tell you, you get saved by grace through faith alone. But then in the next breath, they'll tell you, now that you're saved, you need to read your Bible, you need to pray, you need to attend church, you need to learn to witness, you need to give your tithes and offerings. And all of that's true, but if you do it in the energy of your own human flesh and your own willpower, it becomes quite frustrating. New converts need to be told that New Testament Christians have the Holy Spirit of God living inside them. And if we yield to his prompting, these deeds of love and service are not taxing, but a great joy. We are sanctified by the Spirit and by grace, not by the works of the flesh, nor by the works of the law. In the final verses of chapter 4, Paul presented an allegory. He drew a comparison between the two sons of Abraham. Ishmael was born of Abraham to Hagar, and Isaac was born of Abraham to Sarah. Ishmael was called the son of the bondwoman. Isaac was called the son of the free woman. Ishmael was associated with Mount Sinai, which was the Mount of the Law. Isaac was associated with Mount Moriah, which was the Mount of the grace of Jesus Christ. He even extended the allegory to the Jerusalem which now is and the Jerusalem which is above. In his allegory, Paul compared the false teachers and their converts to Judaistic legalism to the sons of Ishmael, sons of the bondwoman, sons of Mount Sinai, and residents of the Jerusalem which is now, and therefore they were sons of bondage. Then he compared himself and his converts to Jesus Christ in his gospel of grace as sons of Isaac, sons of the free woman, sons of Mount Moriah, and residents of the Jerusalem which is above, and therefore they were sons of liberty. Now, you have to understand, Paul is separating two entirely different systems of teaching, two entirely different bodies of doctrine. And though Christianity grew out of Judaism, and though grace grew out of law, and though the church grew out of Israel, They are not the same. Judaism and Christianity are not the same. Law and grace are not the same. Israel and the church are not the same. They are two entirely different systems of teaching. Much modern-day doctrinal error has arisen from failure to understand this very point. Now, Paul made some conclusions about these two different systems. First of all, only those who have repented of their sin and received Jesus Christ by faith without any taint of the works of the law, only those are true children of Isaac and of Abraham. Those who get saved by faith alone, they are the children of promise. Secondly, Paul said, "The desolate," which is Hagar, "hath many more children than she," which is Sarah, "which hath an husband." In other words, there are many more lost people than saved people. Jesus paid tribute to this truth in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, when he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Later in that same chapter, Jesus added, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." I know this is not popular teaching today. The prominent religion today is universalism. That is the belief that sooner or later everybody makes it to heaven. And if you don't believe that, just attend 10 funerals. Most mainline denominational preachers preach everybody into heaven with their good works and their golden rule gospels. Over and over you'll hear folks who, by the way, know very little of the Bible, and who, by the way, haven't been faithful in attending a Bible preaching church in years, if ever, you'll hear those folks say things like this: "Well, Grandpa's gone to a better place. At least he's not suffering anymore." Well, that's true if he was saved. But if he was not saved, if he was lost, it's not true. I know that folks want comfort in a time of loss, but a whole lot of modern day preaching is a refuge of lies. And lost people will believe what is comforting over what is convicting. Paul said, many more people are lost than are saved. He was only confirming what the Lord Jesus had already taught so clearly. Listen to the words of Christ again. "Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat." If that doesn't mean that there are more lost people than saved people, then I have no idea what that verse means. Jesus went on to teach that there are many who call Jesus Lord, some who even prophesy or preach in his name, some who've cast out demons, and others who have done miracles, who in fact are really not saved. They're counterfeits. They're false converts. They repeated a prayer that they neither understood nor meant. They walked down a church aisle. They made an empty public profession. They filled out a decision slip. They went through the waters of baptism. They joined the church. They publicly participated in all the ordinances and ceremonies. In some cases, they even went on to seminary. They went on to become pastors and preachers of mainline denominational churches, but they are not really saved. And they preach a gospel that falls short of true repentance and faith. They preach a gospel that falls short of the new birth. They preach a gospel of the golden rule and a gospel of good works, a gospel of the Ten Commandments. Some go to the opposite extreme and preach a gospel of health, wealth, and prosperity, a gospel of easy believism, a gospel of love and licentiousness without repentance and life-changing faith. They preach, but their preaching's from a denominational lectionary. It's not much more than reading sermons that have been prepared by some denominational speechwriter. They preach, but it's without the power of the Holy Spirit. They preach, but it's without regeneration to those who believe their message. Listen, most of the religious leaders of Jesus' day were not born again, and I don't think it's a lot different today. It's no wonder a man has to read his prayer if he's not truly regenerated and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. I repeat, there are more lost people than there are saved people. Paul concluded a third truth in this allegory. The child of the bondwoman persecutes the child of the free woman. Ishmael persecuted Isaac, and that's still true today. False religion persecutes true religion. Bad doctrine persecutes true doctrine. Understand, those of us who believe pure Bible doctrine, we will expose false doctrine. We may even call it by name, but we would never persecute. True Bible believers have never won a convert with the sword. We've never won a convert with the ballot box. We win converts by preaching to the truth and appealing to the conscience of men. We preach Scripture and the Holy Spirit convicts the heart of men that it's true. And those who believe the Scripture and the testimony of the Spirit receive it and believe it and convert to it. Paul closed chapter 4 very simply. He said, "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." In other words, Paul, his associates, and his true converts were children of Isaac, children of Abraham, by faith and by faith alone. Now I want to ask you, are you a child of Abraham? Are you one of his true children by faith? Are you a child of Isaac? Or are you a child of Ishmael, a child of the bondwoman? If you've added works to grace, if you've added ceremonies to faith, if you've tried to obtain your righteousness by religion, then, my friend, according to the Scripture, you're not a true child of Abraham. True children of Abraham are not so by circumcision or by any other ritual. They are such by faith and by faith alone in Jesus Christ. I hope that today you've rejected all the false gospels that are out there, that you've repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ by faith to be your Lord and Savior. If you haven't, I plead with you, why don't you do so today? And if you need help sorting this all out, I urge you, call our church office. It would be our privilege to point you to Jesus Christ. God bless you and have a good day.
You've been listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri, with Pastor Dan Dietrich. If this program has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website at www.fbcwayland.org or by giving us a call at 660-754-6312 or by dropping us a line at P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri 63472. My friend, it's not yet 9 o'clock, and you still have time to get to church this morning. So why don't you decide right now that today you're going to make it to church? If you don't have a church home, let me invite you to visit us here this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website, www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.